Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number 107.
107. Did you think I wasn't going to make it into the to say at the right time?
No, because our producer didn't have the iPad up and I had no idea what episode we were on. So I was like, hi. How's it going? How are you listeners doing?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what episode we were on.
What's your name?
Shama Sangeeta.
She had to think about it. Oh my God. That's hilarious. My name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali. And we're the Modern Yogi Podcast.
But y'all have had these names for so long. I feel like I just got this name recently. So
I'm
I
sorry. Shamali got it after you.
Shamali's name was Shamali.
Sorry, I got momentarily confused.
Feel the love tonight.
Where did that come from?
You know, so when your friends forget your name, it's okay.
No, I meant.
I just wanted to sing the song. You thought it was changed. Yeah. I mean, it was always Shamali.
I thought it was changed. Is that she was saying, like, I just got initiated, and my brain thought Shamali was initiated afterwards.
That's true.
And that's what I thought. But then I didn't think about the fact.
Shamali's name was Shamali.
What was your name before? Or Shama Sangeeta, the audience might not know that.
Oh, it was Astalal.
We totally know that.
I've said that before.
No, I'm joking.
You're what?
My dead name.
Oh,
no,
my goodness.
It's just, never mind. And it's a stupid joke. But the point is, that was who I was before. I am no longer that person, except for in professional settings and on LinkedIn.
Would you ever change, we're getting off topic, but would you ever change your legal name to your initiated name?
I can barely remember my initiated name. So no. As you have witnessed many times on this podcast, where I'm like, my name is Line? What's the line? Anyway, what are we doing here? Oh, we're on a podcast called The Modern Yogi. Welcome, everybody.
So what's the recap?
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay, so basically, I did this kind of at the end of the last episode, but we the first thing that we encountered was a long list of qualities that are declared to be knowledge.
Yeah.
So knowledge is understanding Krishna, the soul, the super soul, but ultimately it also means understanding humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, and all of these immense, amazing qualities that are a ladder up all the way to unalloyed devotional service for Krishna.
Beautiful. Mm.
And
great.
So if we can just love Krishna, all the other qualities come along. Otherwise, we have to work one quality at a time and slowly get there.
Like step one, humility. Step two, pridelessness.
Exactly.
This is a lot of steps, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, so take the express route. It's like the elevator up, and that's bhakti. And we're just watching everyone else do the steps. And we're like, ciao, ciao.
No. We still, like the fact that you even made that joke, we still have to do the steps. Like,
yeah. You might be on that elevator, but I'm like on the...
I am crawling up this.
Wait, no, lost in translation. The expressway is bhakti, that you don't have to focus on one step at a time. The expressway, no, that might have come out conceited. Let me rephrase. What I'm saying, not me, Shamali, individual qualities. No, bhakti is the expressway. If you can just focus on devotional service and not have to focus on one step at a time.
That's better.
Yeah.
That's better.
Totally.
I do want to take this express elevator.
Yeah, hop on.
I'm going to hop on. And I just got to love Krishna to do that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yes.
So that's the summary. I did it.
All right, the invocation, please, ladies.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge.
Why are you laughing?
I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. That was sounded so manly.
This one?
Yeah, really? I was like, oh my God, it's a run this time.
Okay, you sing it next time.
Okay, no, I've never made fun of it. For 107 episodes, it was so beautiful.
So you had to.
But I wasn't going to say anything. I just smiled to myself and you called me out, okay?
I still think you should sing the next one.
You should.
Oh my God, a different one.
I was smiling, feeling embarrassed that I made a joke that sounded like I was on the expressway. Bye, losers. You can work on your humility, but I'm... going
that's
to the
what
top.
It sounded like.
No. That's hilarious.
I was like, I wish I was where Shamley's at.
No, he said that, right? Prabhu said that.
You don't worry, you did it.
Oh my God, Jimmerland.
Oh my God. I closed my eyes for 2 seconds before you did that. You really scared me.
Oh my God,
you know what I thought? I thought the recording had stopped and then he played the previous thing that happened and I was like, hey, what's going on?
Oh my God, I'm crying. Anyways, I'm laughing
okay.
so much.
Okay. Text chapter 13. Text 13. You guys ready?
Yeah, ready.
Yes.
Everyone needs a little deep breath.
Can I do it one more time?
No.
Yeah, do it one
more time. Oh my God,
okay.
Sorry, that's the last time. Oh, I felt so good. I'm like crying. That's so funny. Okay, sorry. Chapter 13, text number 13, Priyadarshini.
Wait, before we do that, can we just do a quick om? Just yes. to center ourselves.
Yeah.
She was going to make fun of me.
Y'all need just to get together.
Y'all? Okay.
All right. One, okay. two, three. That was really nice.
Okay.
I don't feel like making fun of you guys anymore.
Look at that. All right. Krishna in your heart. All right. I shall now explain, Krishna speaking, by the way. I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal.
Sorry. When I read that on my own, I was like, what in the world?
I know.
That's a weird sentence.
Even now when I said it, I didn't know how to break it down. Let me try again.
Okay, try again.
I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Oh, I finally got it.
Okay, continue.
Okay, should I keep reading and then
explain? Keep reading.
Okay. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Okay, I understand the first sentence. I think I got it.
Okay.
You guys help me out because
read it.
This is what I think. Okay, so I shall now explain the knowable. So there's this knowable thing we have to understand. Okay, I'm not going to say what that is because
clearly, we'll break it down.
Potentially, I don't know what it is. But, but it says knowing which you will taste the eternal. So by knowing this thing, you will taste the eternal.
Boom.
So like the truth, you will get back to Krishna. You will understand the full absolute truth. So by knowing that knowable, that's what you will taste.
Knowing when you know blank, this is when you will understand Krishna.
Yes, the eternal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
So what is the blank?
Well, that's the purport and we're going to dive into
cool.
this.
Okay.
It's a little bit more of a tongue twister riddle, the beginning of the purport as well. But anyway, it's fun.
Yeah, you want to read it or should we try to not
I think it's fun. Let's read it because I think it's so complicated and
okay,
it just makes
it.
Me giggle. But do you want to explain the second part of the text or not yet?
No.
Okay. Nah, we're good. So should we break it down line by line or should I just read it and you just can get a taste of how difficult it
just
is?
Read it, the whole thing.
The Lord has explained the field of activities and the knower of the field.
Oh, wait, actually, we can break that down.
We can break that down.
We know that.
What is the field of activities?
The body.
Body. And the knower of the field?
The soul.
Yeah, us. So. The soul. The soul is the knower of the field. So let's keep those two in mind.
Yep.
Field of activities, the body. Knower of the field is us, the soul.
Beautiful.
So the Lord has explained the body and the soul.
Perfect.
He has also explained the process of knowing the knower
soul.
Of the field. Wait, let's read this out. He's also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field of activities.
Beautiful.
Translates to...
He has also explained the process of knowing the soul.
Beautiful.
Which is in the body.
Yes.
Right. Now he begins to explain the knowable, comma, first the soul and then the super soul. So right, the knowable is the soul and the super soul.
I think the knowable is the super soul.
I agree. I've been saying that since the
She's
beginning.
She's been saying that.
You have it. But why does Prabhupada...
Thank you.
I
can we
I
just talk
know.
About that for a second?
Yeah.
Like in between...
You have been saying the super soul.
In between recordings.
Yeah.
Okay. We have some time to sit and highlight and discuss. And the question that kept coming up between these ladies is, what's the noble? What's the noble? And Shama Sangeeta, little old me, was like, guys, the noble is the super soul. And they're like, no, I don't think so. What's the noble? What's the noble? And I'm like, guys, I'm pretty sure it's the super soul. And they're like, no, I don't. I you're pretty dumb. Let's go. Whoa, loose transcription.
Wait,
is that not what happened?
No, it's not what happened. You said it's the soul. And then we were like,
No, I said it's the super soul.
No, you said it was the super soul. Sorry. And then we were like, but is it the soul and the super soul? Right. We were just confused in its entirety, but you were right. Okay. Yeah. First and foremost.
It doesn't happen very much on this podcast. So I'm just going to sit and relish that for a second. Okay. I'm sorry. What did you say?
You were right.
What?
You were right. What was the first thing of the checklist?
Oh, humility.
Touché. On the express list or are you on the elevator?
I am headed down the elevator right now. So fast in the humility elevator.
Wait, did the joke ever come through? I forgot to ask that. It came through, right? When I was the expressway?
We understood. We got it. We moved on.
You're a loser.
Okay, no one's a loser here.
No, I was pretending to be her telling me that. Okay. I wasn't.
I didn't say that. I thought it. Anyways, go ahead.
Jeez. We're back on this. Okay.
I love you, man.
Love you.
So Krishna begins to explain the noble, which we've determined is the super soul.
I will say Prabhupada does make it confusing there by saying the noble, comma, first the soul, A, and B, then the super soul. But I think he's just listing, like, sure, Krishna or Prabhupada explained the soul and then the super soul, but sure, the knowable is the soul, super soul.
When we read that sentence, in my mind, I thought the knowable was the combination of the soul and the super soul.
Right, potentially,
which is both. I think where the confusion was. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we're going to just keep moving
we're
on.
We're going to see.
We're book club buddies.
Some are more right than others. Shaman is
correct. That's all. We're trying to figure this out together.
Okay. 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 So, right. He begins to explain the noble, first the soul, and then the super soul.
I feel like I'm going to die on the hill that this is the soul and the super soul.
Sorry.
Because if you go back to the text that Krishna says, he says, I shall now explain the knowable. Why would he just... No, you're right. It might be the
super soul. Even if she said it's just the super soul, internally I thought, we'll see.
All right, we'll see. Let's go.
I think she's right. I think she's right. It's the super soul.
You're probably right, but why would Prabhupada put both? Anyway, we'll see. The next sentence. By knowledge of the knower... So... By knowledge of, who's the knower again?
The soul.
So by having knowledge of the soul, both the soul and the super soul.
My God.
Are we sure? So what was the knower? The knower is the soul.
I wrote it down.
Right. So by knowledge of the knower, both the soul and the super soul, one can relish the nectar of life.
Okay, so I think here's the other thing about this. We explained this some time ago, right? The field of knowledge, it's not just the body. Otherwise, they would call it the body. The field of activities is not just the body. Like, that's a simplification for what it is. But the field of activities is actually all of the 24... Building blocks that constitute us. And it doesn't just have to do with bodily things. I mean, it is bodily things, but it's also like how we interact, the stages we go through. So it isn't just our body. It's also a few other things.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's everything. It's all 24 of those things.
Exactly. So then it's not just the body. When we simplify it, it's just for us to grasp it.
Right.
So then similarly, the knower of the field of activities, it is the soul.
And the super soul, because he's the super knower, remember?
The super knower.
The knower and the super knower.
No. Keep going.
Both.
Keep reading. Okay, let's keep going.
Okay, so anyway, Prabhupada keeps explaining, as according to the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. And it's interesting, we already went through all of this in great detail in the second chapter, but the jiva was never born, nor can anyone trace the history of the jivatma's manifestation.
It's beginningless.
It's beginningless.
So cool.
Beautiful.
All right.
So the knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he is full of knowledge. So that's the soul.
The soul.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
Yeah. Yes.
Text number 14.
Shamasangita.
All right. Krishna says... Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything.
I gotta say, when I read that, I was like, Krishna, what's happening?
We're confused.
Because first we were talking about the knowable and the knower and the field of activities. And now we're talking about hands and legs and
everywhere. Okay. I think this is really cool because like Krishna is, okay, so... Well, let's go back, right? We have two sparks inside of our heart. Mm-hmm. One is our soul, mm-hmm. gives us consciousness. It is Satchitananda. It is happiness, eternality, and knowledge, right? That is what constitutes the soul inside of us. Mm. But now we are getting some insight into like what that second spark is like, right?
The super soul,
yeah. Right? Mm. All of the details of the next verses are all about that second spark and yeah. describing that second spark.
Okay. Absolutely. You're spot on, Shama Sangeeta.
It's when I start highlighting. I should be highlighting more, huh?
It's really nice. We appreciate it.
I'll do it.
Because Prabhupada's saying exactly that. He's saying the Supreme is different from the individual soul. And he gives a kind of a cute example. He says, the Supreme Lord can extend his hand without limit. The individual soul cannot. And we referenced this, that I think, Priya, you mentioned this in a previous episode, that the Lord says, if anyone offers him a flower, fruit, or a little water, he accepts it. And Prabhupada almost rhetorically says, if the Lord is a faraway distance, how can he accept things? That is his omnipotence of the Lord, that even though he's situated in his own abode far, far away from earth, he can extend his hand and accept what anyone offers. And then it's kind of like you question, or Prabhupada says, the individual soul, however, can't say that he has hands and legs and eyes mm-hmm. everywhere.
I don't understand.
Okay, so basically, you know those two sparks inside of us, right? Yeah. We are Satchitananda. We are those three things, right? Mm-hmm. But remember, Krishna's spark is different. Krishna's spark is a bit of Krishna, right? So Krishna can do anything. He can accept things. He doesn't have to be in the same place as us.
Right.
Krishna can do anything. And so therefore, Krishna's soul, the spark inside of us, I think this is also kind of a metaphor where it's like Krishna can be everywhere, right?
Yeah.
In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything. So that super soul, like it's, yeah, sure, it's in our heart, but it's also can be bigger than that too. It can be everywhere.
I understand that, but I still don't understand why Krishna chose to say everywhere are his hands and legs.
Oh.
Like even if we just break, like just that first sentence, even if we don't have to worry about the eyes and the heads and the faces. Like,
ooh.
Go ahead. No, you go first.
Yeah. I think I know how to answer because I almost the way Prabhupada describes it is confusing. It almost gives you a, you know, the Incredibles, Elastigirl, your hand stretches and it doesn't work that way. But it's almost like, okay, we have Krishna in our hearts. Yes. But when we offer, let's say, a meal to Krishna, Krishna's always in his eternal abode in the transcendental planet. But that Krishna, even up there, can metaphorically extend his hand and accept it.
Yes, I understand.
Oh, I love the excitement you're feeling.
That's perfect.
I get it. Okay,
yeah.
Great analogy.
Thank you. Because it's not like from the spiritual world, Elastigirl style, hand flies down here, but it's like it transcendentally, he can extend his hand and accept it. So not only the Krishna in our heart will accept it, but literally Krishna can be up there enjoying his pastimes while receiving something that we send him with love.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I love that. Okay.
And so his hands and his legs, right? Like say for instance, like someone dies that is someone is a devotee of Krishna, right? And he's not just up there. He can run as fast as possible to be in that room with that devotee. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? And take him home. Yeah. So like he can be everywhere.
I understand now. Okay. Yeah. We weren't talking about literal hands and legs, which he can have. We're talking about more of like being everywhere, all present.
Exactly.
It's more
exactly.
Oh.
He talks about that. He's all pervading, all present. And I think that's really beautiful to think of because whenever we offer something, we might think, oh, we're offering it and Krishna's in our hearts. But no, also the Krishna who's literally in his own abode far, far away from earth is the one that can extend his hand to accept what anyone offers. That's beautiful.
Gotcha. I love that. And I love that this notion of like Krishna, like or Krishna says he has ears everywhere, right? Mm. That also means like he can hear everything that's going on in our heart. We don't have to say it. He has ears to hear it. Any prayers that we make, he can hear it. Even if we don't make them physically out loud, if they're in our heart, he can hear them because that super soul has that power.
Yeah. Beautiful.
That's so sweet. So wait, before we started recording, we were talking about this idea of being in Krishna.
Oh,
is that later?
That'll come in the next one.
Cool.
Because we were giggling for the audience back behind the scenes. We were giggling to ourselves because it just felt like the next three purports and texts were like tongue twisters. So what Priya's talking about is
we're getting there
soon.
Okay, cool.
But they give a nice, one of you can read it if you want. They give a nice little analogy about the sun diffusing its rays in the very beginning of the purport. To give an example of Krishna being all pervading everywhere. Do you want to read it, Shama?
Yeah. As the sun exists, diffusing its unlimited rays, so does the super soul or the supreme personality of Godhead. Mm. He exists in all pervading form and in him exists all the individual living entities.
Oh, it's here actually, Priya. What you brought up is here. So read a little more. Okay. Yeah.
Beginning from the great teacher, Brahma, down to the small ants. There are unlimited heads, legs, hands, eyes, unlimited entities. Yeah.
Right. So basically he's all pervading. And there's one line right after what Shama read that says, living entities are existing in and on the super soul. I paused and I was like, okay, two prepositions. We're in and on the super soul. And with this whole theme of there's Krishna in our hearts and Krishna in the spiritual world, Priya, what would that mean then if you had to explain it to a kid?
Yeah. The way I thought about it is Krishna, if you can think of Krishna as a universal form and right. you can think of Krishna as Paramatma, then you can understand that he is within us as Paramatma,
right.
and we are within him in the universal form.
Yeah.
So it's like we are in and on Krishna. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
When Priya said that and when we were digesting it further off air, I was like, Prabhupada's a genius. And I went to underline that sentence because yeah. one might think, oh, okay. His English was not his native tongue. In and on the super soul. No. Sure, Prabhupada. But no, he was so precise and knew exactly what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. So compact there.
Ugh. I actually think everything about the way this is written is so clear. Like there's no a lot of room for confusion. Like right. it's very precise too. And the fact right. that it could be so precise means that it's absolute truth, right? Like
yeah.
how to write something so, you know, written in such a factual way.
Right.
It's amazing.
Shama, do you want us to explain that sentence one more time? We're existing in and on the super soul.
Sure.
You didn't like my accent.
No, yours was good.
I loved it so much that I feel... No, my only thought was it was so good that if someone's hearing in the car, let's repeat that sentence one more time because we already read it a ton of times, you know?
I remember the second part of yours, what you said. But if you could repeat it and then I could say the second part.
I said that if you can think of Krishna as his universal form and also as Paramatma, you can kind of visualize the differences mm-hmm. between Krishna being
tiny, tiny little
your heart.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. being like the whole universe, right?
Yeah.
So we are in him when he's like the big universal form, right? The big.
Part of me thinks the big universal form or just Krishna, Krishna, right? The Krishna that's everywhere.
The Krishna, Krishna.
Yeah, for sure. But if we just want to go with like the visual example of
Go
so Shama. We are in him remember we went through chapter 11 mm-hmm. and we saw this big universal form of Krishna that was mm-hmm. literally everything. We are inside that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then also the little spark, which is a super soul, which is inside of our hearts. He is in that.
So he's inside us.
And he's inside us. Mm. Hi-yo.
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 Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right.
Pretty nice. Should we do text 15?
Text 15.
Okay. The super soul is the original source of all senses. Yet he, capital he, is without senses. He is unattached, although he, capital he, is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature, and at the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. So interesting.
Can we say that? It's kind of funny that Krishna is talking about himself in the third person.
Yeah.
Right. Krishna, I like it's cool because Krishna's talking about his version as the super soul. So he's saying that little guy right in there.
Even though it's himself, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
It's kind of like if you talked about your younger self, like she was cute, even though you're like, it's you
kind
or
of a
whatever.
Boss move,
that's a
actually.
Good observation. Yeah.
Like yeah. Okay. One sentence at a time.
All right. The super soul is the original source of all senses, yet he is without senses.
Yeah, Prabhupada says that the sense activities are exhibited through matter. So they are kind of connected to this material world. Like they're kind of limited and attached. So it's not to say that Krishna can't smell or hear or.
Oh, totally.
Feel, touch or whatever, but to say that he is not attached to these senses or like. Affected by these senses
exactly because he has so although he's the source of all sensory activity he has his own transcendental senses which are not contaminated so I think that's a good way to say it he's not affected in the way we are we have material senses he has spiritual, transcendental senses. He can see, hear better than all of us, you know?
Yeah. And it also, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I've always known like, oh, I've been told like, you can't see Krishna until you have like a spiritual eyes or like transcendental vision, right? Like this idea of like senses that transcend our limitations being in this material world. So I think that's kind of what it's implying here, that Krishna has these transcendental senses that are not quite like ours.
So for instance, if there's like a bad smell in the air,
Krishna could choose not to smell it.
Krishna doesn't need to smell it.
If he doesn't want to.
If he doesn't want to.
He can do whatever.
He can probably smell something that's 5,000 miles away that smells sweet, even if there is a bad smell in front of him.
He can do whatever he wants. Yeah.
Wow.
Transcendental.
And you know what's interesting? I forgot this temporarily, but actually the individual souls, we also have spiritual senses like in there. But in conditioned life, they're just covered with the material elements and therefore sense activities are, as Priya said, exhibited through matter. But so we have the spiritual senses in there. I think that's super cool. It's just covered over.
We have to cultivate and remove the ignorant, the veils of ignorance and like see things through a spiritual eyes. Like there's always this notion of like, oh, when you go to Vrindavan, you can use your material eyes and see the poverty and the dirt and all of the things that are contaminated. Or you can choose to see things through spiritual vision. But that takes time to cultivate. Mm.
For sure.
Yeah.
And beautifully said.
The rest of the purport, Prabhupada kind of explains like he doesn't have this, but he has this. Like, let me see. Yeah. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no hands, which are materially contaminated, he has hands that accept whatever sacrifice is offered to him. Mm. And although he has no material eyes, he does have eyes. Otherwise, how he could see? He sees everything, past, present, and future.
Yeah. I love the next line. He knows what we have done in the past, what we are doing now, and what is awaiting us in the future. He knows everything. But no one knows him. So it makes me so sad every time I read it.
Yeah. No, but I don't think it's like a wah, wah, no one knows him. He just wants to be known. I think it's like a no one can fully understand the greatness that is God.
Right.
You know, actually, I think we've had the same exact
conversation.
I feel
like this is deja vu.
Totally.
Like, I always feel sad. I was like, don't be sad.
Yeah, it's so cute. Actually. Yeah. Good reminder.
That second line. So we just talked about the senses. Shamli, can you go back to the verse and go on to the next line?
Yeah. So he is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings.
Mm. No one's maintaining him.
No one's maintaining him. He is literally
self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient. And he is also the creator of all of us, every living being.
Yeah. And he lives within the hearts of the living beings.
Mm. Love it.
Beautiful. And okay, then the next line, he transcends the modes of material nature, and at the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. Wow. Mm.
What are the modes of material nature, guys?
Goodness.
Passion.
And ignorance.
Yes.
Oh, we know something.
So, we know
something sticking.
So that means that Krishna is not in any of these moods, but
he's not affected by it.
Yeah, he is the master of all of them.
Interesting.
And if you ever wonder what's his form called, because his whole embodiment is spiritual, everything is his eternal spiritual form called Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Mm. It says he's full of opulence. He's the proprietor of all wealth and the owner of energy. He is the most intelligent and is full of knowledge. And these are just some of the symptoms of Krishna.
Love it. Anything else on this purport?
One last line. He is the maintainer of all living entities and the witness of all activity. So he's always there.
Beautiful.
He's always keeping an eye. Your best friend in your heart.
Yeah. The witness of all activity. What a line, no? He's just always there observing silently.
Do you know that song? It's like, every word you...
Every step you take. Every move you make. Every single day, every time you wake, I'll be watching you.
Are those the words?
We always nail the songs on air. You know that by now.
Somebody tell me how. I think those are the words, right?
I feel it.
Did we just sing the song so poorly?
That's okay because it makes sense to the context of what we're saying.
I'll be watching.
Is that Krishna?
That was Krishna in our hearts.
Krishna is our hearts.
Because we all sang the same thing, even though it might be completely wrong. All right. Text 16?
Yeah, Shamali.
No.
No.
It's moi.
Pre-nursing, I apologize.
That's okay. All right. The supreme truth exists outside and inside of all living beings, the moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all.
Okay, one sentence at a time. I don't know what you just said.
Indeed. Okay. The supreme truth exists outside and inside of all living beings.
Okay, we've established that with the two prepositions on, in, on top of all that.
So Krishna is in everything and outside of everything. Mm-hmm.
And how is he in everything?
In our hearts.
In our hearts.
The soul, the Paramatma.
Yes,
Paramatma. He's also outside in the sky, pervading everything.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Essentially what that sentence means, right?
Yes.
Krishna is everywhere.
He's all pervasive energy. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Nailed it.
Exactly.
The moving and the non-moving. So he is in rocks and he is in
caterpillars.
Caterpillars. Sure. Is that true? He's in the non-moving as well? I guess so.
I think so.
If Krishna is everything,
I feel like talked about this. Moving and non-moving rings the bell from a long time ago, right?
It's
like
from a long time ago.
We broke this down at some point.
Well, Krishna is everything. That means Krishna is everything.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It must.
Definitely.
Just the exact details to how to explain that, I forgot.
Yeah. I'm trying to see.
This one line I like. Although he is far, far away, still he is near to us.
Very sweet. Okay, the next line. I don't know if there's any other way to explain the moving and the non-moving. So we're just going to go
inanimate
with...
Inanimate objects?
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's go. Everything.
Okay. Oh, because the Prahlad story where...
he's in the pillar. Kashyapu is he in this pillar?
Ooh. And then Prahlad had such faith and he's like, Krishna's everywhere. Yes. And
amazing. Excellent.
Good recognition.
Excellent. Great timing on that.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
Thank you.
But that was great. That was fantastic. Okay.
Next
line. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know.
Ooh, so
interesting. They highlighted those two. Why they highlight to see or to know?
No, so we cannot see him nor truly know him.
Oh, right as you said, we cannot see. Did you just say that from your intelligence or did you read what Prabhupada wrote? Because he said that, Shama, in the purport. So you're spot on.
I did not read the purport, I'll be honest with you. I don't usually.
Literally, as I found that sentence, that was verbatim what you said.
Oh,
we cannot see him or understand with these material senses.
Mm, yeah.
But like, what does the word subtle mean in that sense?
He is subtle. I don't know if it's
like
referring
subtle
to
body.
That's what I thought. Maybe like subtle body. He has a subtle spiritual body.
Transcendental.
That we can't see with these eyes unless he allows us to.
Okay,
like
that makes sense.
Invisibility cloak.
Yeah, totally.
Like an invisibility cloak.
He does. Okay, that makes sense.
Oh yeah, and he is beyond the power of material senses to see or to know. Our material senses cannot see or know him
because of the invisibility cloak.
Unless
of
he
subtlety.
Wants us.
Yes.
Exactly.
Nice.
Very nice. We're figuring this out.
All right. That's the very next line of Prabhupada in the purport, which all of us studied so well. We cannot see or understand with these material senses, right?
Amazing. And then, although far, far away, he is also near to all.
He's in our heart.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It says that we're never alone because from the very second we enter this material world, Krishna comes with us.
Mm. Oh, is it from the second we enter or is he with us in the womb?
Ooh, good question.
Oh, I mean... Probably
the moment the
even
soul
before.
Enters the womb, is the super soul also entering at that time?
But then the super soul would just suffer in...
No, but the super soul is also beyond suffering.
You're right.
Hi-oh!
Oh,
and okay. What again is the womb? Oh, the womb. Oh, I thought that...
Well, anatomically, that is where the child is being created.
My mind is too big picture. I'm like, what? The womb of birth where all the jivas exist? What is womb?
No, ladies, after a certain time.
So funny. My brain went blank. I was like, what do you mean?
How are when children
a, generally, when a man and woman love each other.
That's really funny.
When you read Gita for too long, which womb are we talking about? I know when we turn away from Krishna, it says the jivas look and then that determines if you go up or down. Anyway, I
when
got
mommy
two
and daddy turn. Connect.
Okay.
Your mind did, your face did go blank for it. You looked at me like, is Shamini
I was
okay?
Like, what is she asking me? How do I answer this?
Oh, that's great. Okay, that's I funny. Think we nailed this one.
We nailed it.
Okay, yeah.
All right, anything else before we move on to 17?
No, just that.
Yeah. Amazing. Let's go.
All right.
Krishna can only be seen and understood by devotional service. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
All right. Text 17. Krishna says, although the supersoul appears to be divided among all beings, He is never divided. He is situated as one. Mm. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all.
All right, so we can break that down.
Yeah.
That last line was
Although the supersoul appears to be divided among all beings, mm-hmm. so he is in everything. Mm-hmm. He's in Priya, he's in Shyamali, he's in me, he's in whoever's listening mm-hmm. right now, whether mm-hmm. you're in your car, you're at home, wherever. He's in all of us, but he is never divided.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because...
Because when you divide something, right, you get a pizza, you divide it
into... You get a slice and it's not the whole. Yeah,
exactly, right? The slices get smaller and smaller the more you divide it. But Krishna is not the same not like that as that all. Pizza pie.
But yet we all still have, like, okay, it's not divided, but it's multiplied. We all have one in us, right?
Or it's just... Yeah, it's like just... Krishna's unlimited, basically.
Right, yeah. right, exactly.
Like, I mean, I think drops of the ocean is not a good example, but it kind of might be a good example because it's like one drop of the ocean exactly. is still the same potency as like the ocean itself, same quality and whatever.
Right. Different in quantity.
Just different in quantity. But I even think that in this verse, they're saying he's no different in quantity. Like he's the same exact, like, you know, like that story of the Rasa dance mm-hmm. where like Krishna became
good, yeah.
Many, I don't know how many actually, like he just kind of, there was many Krishnas in that one night so he could dance with all the gopis who wanted right. to dance with him. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that the next Krishna is less Krishna than the one that came after that.
Yeah, he doesn't get diluted or divo.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no dilution.
He doesn't get diluted, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the part that confuses me just is in the purport where Prabhupada says, okay, does the Lord is situated in everyone's heart as the supersoul. Does this mean he is divided? No, actually he is one. The part where he is one, I thought, wait, what? One? I thought, okay, yeah, he's one, but doesn't he multiply himself while not like, being diluted?
Yeah, but that's like kind of like the Rasa dance where okay. it's like he's one, there's one Krishna, but then right. when he wants to, he can be as many Krishnas as he wants and it doesn't change his qualities. Mm.
Yeah. Prabhupada gives this example of the sun, right? The sun at the meridian is situated in its place. But if one goes for 5,000 miles in all directions and asks, where is the sun? Everyone will say that it is shining on his head.
Like everyone will see it from their position and saying it's warm in my head, even though it might be in a particular
yep.
Right. Position. So he is situated as if divided. So right. He exists in full in all of our hearts, mm-hmm. yet he's also one above. Right. Right. So I do like the droplet of the ocean. I mean, I guess it's different in quantity, but to me, it kind of helps.
The sun example actually makes the most sense. The sun doesn't change at all. We think we have a sun and somebody else has a sun and like, okay. If you talk to five people, they all see, I see the sun, right? It's the one same sun, but we're all experiencing it slightly different based on where we are in the world. Mm-hmm.
Question though, would that be, okay, I think I confused myself with two different options of seeing it.
Okay.
On one side, there's like, okay, there's the sun, one sun, and all its rays are coming down and we all get like the rays of the sun, but there's just one Krishna.
He's not diluted, so he wouldn't be the rays.
Okay, right. So, right, it is that he's like multiplying himself in all of us.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Duplicating like to his full potency, full, like exactly the same Krishna.
That's the way I always thought of it, but just that one part. He is one. That's where I thought, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, addition is the opposite of subtraction, right? Division, like multiplication is the opposite of division, right? So like he is never divided, which means he multiplies.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, he's never divided, essentially.
But also, wait, before you can explain that in a second. But
that
also,
was very academic.
That was really
beautiful.
That was
like very academic of you.
I was single.
But also, think about it like the universal form.
Right.
How many Krishnas are in the universal form? Mm. But they're all in one.
Mm-hmm.
So one, but many at the same time.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I can still, that's how I've conceptualized it.
Yeah.
We all have our own little Krishna. Well, not little, but our own super soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Our own little spark of Krishna, but it's the same as a big Krishna of the universal form.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. The second line of the verse is, although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all.
And there we're referring to the time of annihilation, which we've talked about that in one of the previous chapters. Oh, the 11th chapter.
Wait. So essentially Krishna maintains, like gives birth to everything, but he can also kill everything.
Right. Well, yeah.
And it's confirmed by the 11th chapter where the Lord says that he has come to devour all the warriors assembled at Kurukshetra. Because at the end of the day, this is still a conversation happening in a battlefield in which tons of people are going to die. So,
And yeah, there's different versions. The Kurukshetra, he comes to devour all of those warriors. Also, in the form of time, he devours everyone. Hashtag Oppenheimer.
Hashtag Oppenheimer. Time I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, also, I mean, like, if you think about Kalki, right? Like, he comes many times to annihilate.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? Annihilate. Wow. You said it right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I was actually surprised. I was like, you said the word right. It's not annihilate.
Look at us, like, being scholarly. Wow. Saying words correctly.
Yeah. Okay. And that thought of Krishna coming as time at the end, that's part of what you mentioned, how I had said my spiritual master said that, oh, death, there's nothing to fear. I'm facing Krishna. If I were facing death, that'd be a whole other thing. But Krishna comes in the form of time to at the end of our lives. It's Krishna.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Anything else before we move on to text 18?
No.
Shyamali.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
One last one.
Yeah.
We can squeeze in one last one. All right. So he is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart.
All right. Okay. One sentence at a time. He is the source of light in all luminous objects.
So that's like the sun, the moon, the stars.
Yeah.
Even us.
Yeah.
Oh, but technically, yeah, those things.
In Vedic literature, Prabhupada says we find that in the spiritual kingdom, there's no need of a sun or moon because of the effulgence of the Supreme Lord.
Oh, imagine.
I love that. That's really pretty. That's really, really beautiful. Cool.
Yeah, but in the material world, the Lord's spiritual effulgence is covered by the material element. So we require the assistance of sun, moon, electricity. Yeah.
Prabhupada also says he is just like the sun, eternally luminous, but he is far, far beyond the darkness of this material world. Wow.
The next line is for the text is he is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested.
Right.
So beyond the darkness of matter, meaning...
So he's not situated in this material world. He's in the spiritual world, far, far away in the spiritual sky. I like how Prabhupada describes it as the spiritual sky.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it means beyond the darkness of matter? Because I understand unmanifested. It means he was never born. He will never die. Like there was no like, Krishna wasn't in a womb originally. Mm-hmm. Like he just always existed and will continue to always exist, right?
I think, isn't matter this material world?
Right.
So it's kind of like darkness. I see. Beyond the darkness of this material world.
I understand. And okay, that makes sense. And then he is knowledge.
Right. So
he is the truth.
Absolute truth.
Yeah. His knowledge is transcendental.
He is the object of knowledge. What does that mean?
He is the object, meaning the point of it all.
Okay.
Yeah, Prabhupada says, to one who is anxious to be transferred to the spiritual world, knowledge is given by the Supreme Lord who is situated in everyone's heart. We must surrender.
He is the goal
of knowledge, meaning like all knowledge leads back to him.
The object and the goal.
And all of that, guys, all of that, everything that we just talked about in this whole episode, all of that is sitting inside of our hearts. All that power, all that Krishna.
Whew.
Hot diggity dog. That's crazy. That's wild.
Here it brings it back. We probably don't even want to get into this, but Prabhupada explains there are two knowers of the field of activity.
Here we go.
The individual soul and the super soul. That's kind of what we were talking about. Who's the knower? There we are. Individual soul.
We were all right.
And that's all the time we have left on this episode. Please join us next time for chapter 13, text number 19.
See you next time.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.